Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 21 today on Through the Word. Uncle Ben once told Spider-Man that with great power comes great responsibility, and Leviticus chapter 21 proves this by giving us rules for the Levites or the priests. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the priests and the sons of Aaron, and say to them." Because the priests ruled, therefore there were rules for the priests. Have you ever talked to somebody who joined the military? They didn't run away with the circus. They actually joined an army. They had an important job to do. Therefore, it became the business of the U.S. Army to strip them down of their individuality and make them the part of a unit. In the same way, God tells the priests that you can't just do whatever in the heck you want. From now on, your butt is ours. You belong to the priesthood. You represent God, and you represent the people. There's a huge burden of power on your shoulders, and you have to be responsible. We're used to seeing signs that say, drink responsibly. Well, the Levites were told to breed responsibly. In all areas of life, they were told that they had to be holy. They had to be holy in regards to what they touched, verses 2 and 3 and verse 11. The Levite had to be responsible for being holy in his appearance, how he looked, how he dressed, how he shaved, believe it or not. Verses 5, 10, and 16 through 14 tell us this. And lastly, who he marries, verses 4, and then verses 7 through 9, and verses 13 through 15 tell you that. Now, you might have gathered by now that this chapter does not follow a clear-cut division on those three topics. Instead, think of this chapter as kind of like a spiral staircase. There's a central column running up that's holiness. The priests were meant to be holy. God takes him up three steps, winding around that central column of holiness that's going to help them step by step to ensure that they remain holy. Let's just dance a jig through the chapter, shall we? In verses 2 through 3, they're told not to touch dead bodies unless it's like their mom, their dad, or their spouse. Then they're told in verse 4 who they should marry. Verse 5, they're given instructions about how they should shave so they don't act like pagan priests. In verse 6, we have a parenthesis, a little bit off topic, but it tells us that they should not profane the Lord's name. Now, that's kind of like a landing on a staircase, a little room that shoots off in a different direction. But you don't get off the staircase. No, you get back on those three steps and wind around once more till you hit another parenthesis in verse 12. It tells you don't go out of the sanctuary area. But you don't get off at that landing. No, in this chapter, you keep going around those steps until you end finally with verse 16 with a whole section on blemishes. Now, it's normally the job of theologians and scholars to look at the structure of a chapter, and we see a very clear structure here. Three topics, three steps winding around that central column of holiness with a landing. Why is there that structure? Why do you go back around again after that first landing into those three topics, winding around, arriving at another landing, and then getting back on and going around the column once more? Well, this was probably what's known as a mnemonic device, or a way for the priest to actually memorize what they had to do. After all, there were a lot of regulations, and your very life depended upon it. So it seems as if this were written in this style, rather than being in three chunks on each topic, this is put together so they could memorize exactly what they could and could not do. If you think about it, a lot of our songs are actually built around this way. We have stanzas and then choruses. Perhaps they even sung this, although I doubt you'd find it anywhere on the top 40. We already talked about what dead bodies the priest could touch, but who could he marry? That was important. After all, they wanted to keep the line pure. Remember that Jesus was going to come from the lineage of the Jews. Therefore, because at this time, God hadn't yet said which tribe it was going to come through, it was important that the lineage be preserved. Therefore, the high priest could not intermarry with any foreigner. He also cannot marry a divorced woman, nor could he marry a prostitute. Kind of a no-brainer on that one. But you may remember that God at one time told a priest, Hosea, to marry a prostitute. Why? So he could show something about his grace. Finally, in the last section from verses 16 to the end of chapter, God tells them that they couldn't be deformed or have blemishes. For example, you couldn't have a facial scar. There's me out. Or you couldn't be a dwarf or a midget. That's not a PC term. In fact, midget is a term that comes from having joined the circus and being a performer. But you couldn't be a priest. You might be able to run away with the circus, but you definitely couldn't be a priest. Not being a particularly tall fellow, I gotta tell you, this concerns me a bit. But I already have a facial scar, so it's not really a problem. But just so you know, you couldn't be a Levite if you were under 4 foot 10 inches. That is the legal definition of a dwarf. It also tells you that if you've had your testicles crushed, that you also couldn't be a Levite. In an age before machinery, I don't even want to go there. I don't want to know how that would happen, but I think it would involve something to do with rocks. But again, the reason is that we're talking about Jesus. All of this is a shadowing and foreshadowing of Jesus. Remember that Jesus was going to come through this line, and God wanted to preserve. Although he didn't come through the Levites, they didn't know that yet. What's more important is that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of both the sacrifice and the priest. He is the lamb without blemish or defect, but he is also the high priest who is holy and perfect and in himself has no inherent flaws, defects, or sin. What about leadership today, though? Are there standards? You better believe there are. In fact, Paul lists both in Titus and in 1 Timothy a whole list of qualifications that someone had to meet before they could become an elder. Paul actually references the Old Testament imagery when he says, you know that in a house there are things set apart for holy and unholy use, going back to the Levites and drawing the comparison. Although Jesus makes us holy by what he did, what we do and how we act and behave and even speak is still important. In fact, you may have noticed that as I've been speaking on this broadcast, I'm speaking in a little bit higher voice than I normally do. But I assure you it doesn't involve any rocks or any accidents in a place that would actually disqualify me from Levitical priesthood. I'm just getting warmed up and checking out my vocal range as I get ready to sing Leviticus chapter 21. Why don't you read Leviticus 21 today, and as you do, be grateful that he had no blemish so that he could cover all of yours.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.